ball, and Raffle picked it up, made a great fake, got around a defenseman, and just went top shelf on Clefboom. How do you manage to have a great name like Oscar Clefboom? I'm guessing that's a Dutch guy. Meanwhile, the Flyers had overcome a 5-3 deficit going into the third period, so they won their seventh in a row for the first time since 2011. And Saturday afternoon, they host the Dallas Stars, who won last night 5-1 against Boston. And it should be an interesting game. Face-offs at 1 o'clock, but this is their longest win streak since 2011, when they'd won seven in a row. So now it looks like we've got a team that's beginning to gel and beginning to, the rookies and the younger guys are beginning to play really well, and we're beginning to see just what they're about. So now if they can avoid injuries and keep up that confidence, I think we may very well see some Stanley Cup action in Philly again this spring. Meanwhile, Pat.
Well, meanwhile, I guess.
How about your Packers? How are they doing?
Before that, I guess that means since you watched the Flyers last night, you did not watch the Kansas City Oakland game.
Nope. I do know that Kansas City won, but well, they paid a price.
What was their price?
I heard somebody important was injured, and who was it?
You know, I'm blanking on who it was, but I can tell you who was absolutely phenomenal.
Go right ahead.
Oh, I mean, if you had seen, if he's not the fastest runner in NFL, I would be shocked. And I believe he's a rookie. His name is Hill, and he has a strange first name. Not strange, but I don't recall his first name. But, for example, he made a couple touchdowns, and one, he ran back the ball. Probably must have been an 80-yard run back, certainly close. But the point was, he was just he ran back the kickoff, not the initial kickoff, but he ran it back. Sorry, I'm being a little inarticulate here. However, he was so fast. I mean, he was just unbelievable. Nobody could catch him, and I don't know if they've clocked his speed. He looked like a sprinter who could sprint 60 or 80 yards. I mean, that's how fast he looked. It was just amazing. He's going to make a big difference. And, of course, you know, I've always been rooting for Kansas City because, you know, I really liked Andy Reid. What was he? I think he was with the Eagles, what was it, 14 years?
That's right.
And I think he's now been 4 years with Kansas City. So he has to be, is he the longest coach with the longest straight
the
record? I'm talking about overall 18 years as
Andy
an
Reid.
NFL. Andy's been an NFL
coach for
18 years.
I don't know the answer to
It's got to be certainly one of them.
He's only spent 12 with the Eagles.
I thought he spent 14.
It was either 12 or 14, but he's already had three at Kansas City.
I think three or four. I thought four.
Yeah, because remember, after Andy Reid left, you had Chip Kelly for 2 years. And then they got rid of Kelly right at 3 years, rather. They got rid of him just before the last game of the season. And then they brought in Peterson this year. And so far, the Eagles are a mixed bag. Nobody really knows what they're about. But the first three games they played, Carson Wentz looked great. Everybody was ready to hand the Eagles the Lombardi Trophy after this. They had just gotten into the first three games, and then the roof kind of fell in, and they haven't really won very much since.
Well, the other thing is the quarterback, who didn't he come in the league the same year as Aaron Rodgers? And he was picked above Aaron, as I believe, considered pretty much a journeyman quarterback all these years. But he really did. He moved out of the pocket. It was just a fun game to watch. In other words,
Oakland, Kansas City.
Yeah, Oakland, Kansas City. And you know, sometimes at least, you know, there are some people who watch any game. Football's on, they don't care. Yeah, I'm not one of those fans. I mean, I like to watch a good game. And that game last night was really, I thought, a good game, well executed, some interesting plays, some, you know, very interesting plays. There, you know, frankly, I think Oakland was lucky. I think Kansas City was lucky. There were some turnovers that were just stopped dead. But I'm really, you know, going to keep my eye out on, and I just wish I could remember his first name, Hill.
Well, another Tundra Bowl game, wasn't it?
It was cold.
Was this guy's name Alex Smith?
You mean
the chief quarterback?
Yeah, the quarterback for the Chiefs is Alex Smith. And
right.
I think Alex Smith came in, as I recall, the same year as Aaron Rodgers. In fact, he was picked ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of been around the league and, you know, never been considered that impressive.
Well, he did throw a 36-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill in the second quarter.
That's Tyreek. It's Tyreek.
Tyreek Hill.
And that was another.
That must have been a great play.
That was a great play. But it's Tyreek. I couldn't remember his first
name. That's a hard name to forget.
Well, Hill is easy. Tyreek is not so easy for me.
I don't know anybody else named Tyreek.
Well, that may be. But the even more impressive to me was this run that Tyreek Hill ran back, because it was just phenomenal how fast he was.
Well, you know, sometimes when you draft a guy who's a real sprinter and he's got a good pair of hands, he can really ignite your offense, particularly if he gets a ball. But, you know, the interesting thing is the Raiders had the ball at the Kansas City's 18-yard line, and the Chiefs' defense at a bobbled field goal snap by the Raiders. Oakland was only able to cash those two times in for three points.
Well, in fact, that bobbled, what happened is they should have had a field goal, but it was bobbled, and then the holder saw that he was having a problem and tried to run it in. In other words, at first it looked like it was a sneaky play, but it wasn't. In other words, it looked like it was fourth down. It looked like they were going to kick it, and then it looked as if they had this plan that instead of kicking it, he was going to run it in, although it seemed a little strange because it was about 17 yards. But on a replay, you could definitely see that the ball was bobbled and he had no alternative, because there was no way that the kicker could get a kickoff before, you know, he wouldn't have been able to kick it. He would have been, you know, trounced by, you know, 1,000 players from the other team. But there were a couple things in that game that were obviously a little unusual.
What about Derek Carr? I know they say he hurt the pinky on his throwing hand. He can't grip the ball well. They played in very cold weather, I heard. And he was floating passes rather than drilling them.
Well, yes, but it just seemed like Kansas City, the defense, was able to just shut down Oakland. I mean, I think the score was closer than, if you were watching the game, what was the final score? 21-13. You know, I think if you looked at the game, if anything, I would have been surprised, or I was surprised that Kansas City didn't score more.
But remember something. Kansas City seems to be stronger on defense qualitatively than their offense. And I think Kansas City has scored because the defense gives them the ball in good field position. Kansas City, from what I saw, the little bit that I saw the highlights this morning, I didn't see the game last night, seemed to me to be really on fire defensively.
Oh, remember, they were, no question.
And, you know, Oakland had five offensive drives in the first half, and the Chiefs forced a three and out on five of them.
Oh, yes. It was like Kansas City would do something, and even if they didn't score, they would really do something, and then it was three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out, Oakland.
Yeah.
So
and
that
to,
even when.
To be honest, I thought Oakland was going to give them a much better game than they gave them. And I think some of that is the fact that Carr was hurt. or seem to be. I think the other thing is Kansas City's a better team, and Oakland, I think, is having their they're having a good season, but you know they're not there yet.
No, I wouldn't have blamed that on the quarterback, though. I mean, I wouldn't have said that the loss was because of the quarterback. I just think that the defense was so good that no matter what he did, they seemed to be able to shut him down.
Well, you know, I think that's an Andy Reid team, and from the highlights, I have to say that they looked like a team that had smothering defense, and that if they're going to go deep into the playoffs, it'll be because they win a lot of games by 3 points or less. I just think they're going to be that kind of a team where they may get a defensive score or two, whether it's a touchdown or a safety, who knows. But time will only tell. But, you know, certainly the NFC West looks like the Chiefs are going to be it.
Oh, I would think that, who else is close? I mean, I don't usually follow the NFC West. And as I said, it would just so happen because the game was last night and we started watching and it was a good game. So then, you know, I continued to watch it. I really don't follow the NFC Western Division. I'm much more concerned, of course, about my Packer division. And, of course, the Packers this week are playing Seattle. So
in Green Bay.
Good news is they're playing in Green Bay.
Yeah, that's true. The good news is they're playing in Green Bay, and the better news is that I'm not going to be in Green Bay, but I might be watching a game on TV, and I can be warm.
I bet
it's got to be 20 degrees down there.
I am hoping that if you saw last week's game with the Texans, I mean, it was sleet, it was rain, it was snow, it was fog. It was the perfect Green Bay weather, and as you said, Dave was sitting there. My husband Dave, who's a diehard fan, was sitting there saying, "I am so glad I'm watching this one in the comfort of a nice warm room."
Well, you know, I often think the best football is watched from your couch under a sleeping bag while it's snowing outside and snowing at the game.
Well, I disagree. I love to go to the games. I mean,
I think
there's nothing better than a game. I don't want to go to another one that's 13 below zero. And frankly, when it's that damp cold that I've said that on the program. I think other than the 13 below zero playoff game, a game that I was most uncomfortable with was the Packers-San Francisco playoff game a few years ago in San Francisco because it was so damp. It was just cold and damp. It was before they moved to their new stadium. And off that bay,
is right on the water.
Oh, and it is right on the water. It is cold, damp. And I would have preferred sitting out in the snow at Lambeau.
Well, you know, a nice, powdery, soft, fluttery, almost dry snow without too much wind is kind of pleasant to watch a football game in, especially if you got a cup of coffee or hot chocolate or a bottle of an adult beverage, a very strong one. But the problem with a lot of these newer stadiums is they're near rivers, so you have a damp cold.
That's true.
If you look at Lincoln Financial Field or Veterans Stadium when it was still there, you're in between the Delaware and the Schuylkill, and where they come together is about a mile away. So you have the problem of it's cold, it's raw, and when that wind hits you, it really bites. So I always say, I love December football. It's when the games are the most meaningful. It's the holiday time of year. It's got a festive element to it, particularly if there's a playoff and your team is in. But you've got to dress for it. And it's not for the soft of heart.
True. You know what I've noticed lately, both with this game, with that bobbled I guess you would. Do you call it a snap?
A bobbled snap on a place kick.
But, you know, it also happened when Rodgers was unable to secure the snap in the game against the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's done perfectly a zillion times in a row, so you don't even think about the importance of a snap. And I think that earlier this year I recognized how important it was watching my grandson play football because, you know, it's really tough for the little ones to get, you know, to give a good snap to the quarterback. And so I've been trying to watch a little more. It's hard to see sometimes on television, but, you know, when the snap isn't good. And so often I see that Rodgers is able to, even if it's not a great snap, he's able to make it look like it's a great snap. But, you know, he had one very early in the game against the Texans that, you know, he just was unable to secure it.
Well, that's true. I mean, we see the same thing with Carson Wentz. He's suddenly taken his knocks because the Eagles' offensive line is terrible, to say the least. Plus, the receivers don't seem to create any distance between themselves and the cornerbacks, so... he's struggling. I think he's probably one of the most talented guys we've ever seen at quarterback.
I thought he was when I saw him when they played the Packers, which, by the way, I still think was the best game the Packers played this year. But I've really been impressed by Wentz.
Well, yeah, I think he has a great future if they put the right guys around him. Look at Dak Patterson at Dallas.
Prescott.
Pardon?
Prescott.
Prescott, pardon me. Dak Prescott at Dallas. And, you know, you've got a tremendous receiving core. He gets protected. He's got guys that can run the ball for him. He doesn't have to do it all. And Tony Romo was on the news today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Saying, you know, it's Prescott's team, and he is looking. I think he's the kind of guy really doesn't want to be a backup quarterback, but given the nature of the injuries he's had, the success the Cowboys have had, they've got the best record in football. I think we're going to see Dallas competing for the Super Bowl. Maybe they won't win it all, but I think they could easily go all the way.
Well, do you think Tony Romo's looking to move, or do you think he's looking to retire?
I think he's looking to move, although if I were Tony Romo, I would say, why do I want to risk another injury and possible paralysis? He's got back trouble. He's got knee trouble. He would probably make a great quarterback coach somewhere. I think it's probably time for him to go out on top, particularly if he remains a Dallas backup quarterback for the next couple of months. And Dallas can win a Super Bowl. He gets his name on a Lombardi Trophy.
Oh, yeah. I think he'd be foolish to...
He'd be smart to continue after that.
Yeah, I think he'd be foolish to leave now.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of a team where, you know, he could go and make any big difference at this stage. And I don't know. I would think that he'd, after looking at what happened with Brett Favre, I would think that a lot of these quarterbacks would say, hey, you know, why don't I go out on top? But then, of course, you look at Peyton Manning, and, you know, he wasn't ready to retire, so he went to
Denver and won a Super Bowl.
So, you know, you can see both sides of it, and it's got to be very hard for some of these guys to hang it up.
But it's a good problem to have, isn't it? Yeah.
How many years has Romo been with the Cowboys?
I think nine. Eight or nine.
I mean, enough.
I mean, I'm not one of his fans. But,
no, I'm not either.
He certainly is a great quarterback. And, you know, he really has nothing left to prove except that they haven't won a championship in Dallas. And remember, when Jerry Jones drafted him, Dallas was the doormat
right.
of the NFC East. I mean, even the Eagles and the Redskins were routinely pounding him.
Well, let me ask you, is this week... is this a rematch between Dallas and the Giants?
I think it is, and I think it's in New York, or actually in the Meadowlands. I think it's in MetLife Stadium, and, you know, the Giants are probably just not a great team despite their record, and I think they got exposed last week. They're now 8-4. This is week 14. The Giants have had their bye week. They've already had a little bit of a revolt with regard to the receiving core because they have a lot of drops. Odell Beckham was very frustrated when nobody got a ball to him in the second half.
Was with the Steelers?
Yeah.
I did not see the Giants-Steelers game.
I watched about half of it, and I can tell you that the Giants look like a frustrated team, and I think Dallas is going to romp over them. The really interesting matchup, I hope.
But let's not go away from that for a minute, because remember, the only team that has beat the Cowboys is in fact the Giants. So
they beat them in Dallas.
And they beat them in Dallas, their first game.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
I think that was the first game, as I recall.
And remember, a lot of people say that the only reason the Giants won is within the last 30 seconds, Dallas made a very bad mistake and didn't run the ball out of bounds.
Exactly.
They didn't run a play towards the sideline. They ran towards the middle of the field, threw a pass. Guy was tackled there. Time ran out.
Well, is that the? I can't remember. Was that the play where he could have gone out? Maybe there was one play where he could have gone,
but he didn't.
And instead, he turned the other way.
He ran a funny route. I couldn't figure it out. And to be honest with you, I was watching the game. My heart was in my throat. I kept saying to myself, Dallas is going to go for it all here. And they're going to get a touchdown, or they're going to throw the ball to the sidelines, or they're going to kick a field goal and win by a point or two. Because I think the Giants were up by a point or 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
I forget, but a field goal would have done it. And they ran out of time. They threw to the middle, and the guy didn't make the break for the sideline. And part of that was because the Giants' coverage happened to be pretty good, and the two guys that had been along the sidelines really looked like they had been beaten by the cornerbacks and the safeties. So you had a problem over the middle was open. That's where the ball was thrown.
And Tony was playing that game, right?
I mean, don't remember.
I'm trying to remember if he played that first
maybe
game.
Maybe he did. But the end result was the Giants won. They won by a point or two. I forget the exact score. I think Dallas is looking to show the Giants the Giants are nothing but a wild card team.
No, I think they're coming. I think this is going to be a grudge match.
I mean, think so too.
You know, it's the only one they
Dallas
lost.
Has something to prove here.
They didn't think they should have lost that game. They thought it was a fluke. They've been so good since then. Because I remember that game, and then when the Cowboys came to Lambeau. Maybe I'm blind here, but I wasn't thinking that the Packers played so poorly as much as Dallas had really stepped up their game.
I thought Dallas stepped it up a couple of notches against Green Bay because Green Bay didn't play that badly, but
right.
They were made to look bad because Dallas was playing so well. You may remember a couple of times Rodgers came off the field on three and outs, and he had a tremendous look of frustration on his face.
Well, and I also the one thing that he's hurt. There's no question that he played this last game hurt, and I'm hoping that he can just, he obviously has a hamstring that is problematic.
Well, you know. This time of year where the injuries hurt even more because it's so cold, and particularly in Green Bay. But, these are professionals. They are professional trainers. If they're going to be prepared for a game, they're going to be very well prepared as best they can be. But I think this is the time of year where your training staff really becomes important because it's cold, guys are banged up, whatever hurts more. You've got all those muscle tears and pulls. Nobody's had a bye week recently where they've got 10 days to recover.
Well, that's true with the Packers. Their bye this year was really
early.
Too early. I mean, it was so early.
And, that kind of spoils it. I think if you're going to have a bye week, I think it should be literally between games 8 and 9, right in the middle. If at all possible, because what that does is that means that Now you're getting into November. You've had a break, and it's cold. It starts to get cold, particularly if you're in a northern city, Miami Dolphins notwithstanding. And what happens is it's now the time to get healthy. Get a little time off, get refreshed, and come back to it and play the second half. The teams that really get lucky are the ones that have the bye just before Thanksgiving, I think.
I don't disagree. I really don't.
We also have something else going on in the NFC that's going to be interesting. And these are two teams, I think, both struggling. You've got the Eagles and the Redskins. And the Redskins are going to be facing a very different Eagle offensive line.
Is that this week?
That's this Sunday.
And where are they playing?
In Philly. And the Redskins will be looking at Carson Wentz, who took a number of hits last week, really feeling the pressure. The Eagle experiment with moving Alan Barbre sliding over from left guard to take Vitae's place at right tackle has not really been a success. Barbre, made the move, played well the first couple days, but he struggled against a team like the Bengals, who I thought the Eagles could beat. Redskins outside linebacker Ryan Kerrigan played very well last week. But, between Kerrigan and their cornerback Josh Norman, Washington's defense is not all that good. And I think Carson Wentz may be able to pick them apart with some short passes so long as the Eagles can remember how to catch the ball. They're getting back Jordan Matthews despite his bad ankle. And running back Ryan Matthews are also... who's got a problem with the knee, is now able to play. The Eagles have had a poor running game for the past month or 6 weeks, but to be honest, Ryan Matthews looks like he's going to be carrying the ball. The real difficulty is you cannot expect Carson Wentz to have a good game with receivers being so inconsistent. The matchup that I'm going to be looking for is Jordan Matthews, up against slot corner Kendall Fuller. And the other interesting thing is whether the Eagles can establish a running game. They can't fall behind early, but, they're best when they have a balanced attack. Washington has allowed 4.6 yards a carry, which is really towards the bottom of the NFL. So Matthews is back. And I think the Eagles have to spread the ball around on the runs, and they have to take the pressure off of Wentz and the defense. But, the Eagles are not – I don't think the Eagles are going to have great success through the air. Dorial Green-Beckham's injury, he may not play. I don't know how often – if he does play, I don't know how often they're going to get a ball to him. You still have Darren Sproles and Zach Ertz. The Eagle defense – was pretty bad. They had their worst performance in Washington last time, and they couldn't stop the run, particularly after Benny Logan left after he got hurt. And you may remember when they played in Washington, Matt Jones ran for 135 yards, but he's out. He's hurt. Bob Kelly is now the Washington tailback, and although he can run hard and Gruden likes to get him to go north-south, but the question is he big enough and can they beat up the Eagles front four or front seven rather? They're also getting back Trent Williams, who just had a 4-game suspension.
Well, that'll be interesting, and I think that could be very helpful. Listen, why don't we take a break, talk to some of our let some of our sponsors talk a bit, and we'll be back. I want to talk just briefly about the calls for excessive celebration, and let these referees know my take on it. In any event, we'll be back just shortly, so stay tuned.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Well, Bill, we're back. We are back. And Pat Smits and Bill Wolfson. And hi, John Manfreda. I know you're on your way to Boston, but probably because you didn't want to talk about the Giants Steelers. Bill, one of the things that I think that they're often calling, and I think it's ridiculous, is this excessive celebration. It was called in the game, it was called in the Packer game. No, it was called, excuse me, it was called in the Kansas City game last night. But I did see something in the Packer game that I really laughed about. I mean, everybody knows about the Lambeau Leap.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with it.
Kind of drawing the fans into the game.
It has been a tradition. I actually think that if any referee ever tried to call excessive celebration for the Lambeau Leap, they would probably carry the ref out, maybe burn him in effigy, but not have anything other than him. I mean, it would be just unbelievable. Nobody would ever forgive a ref, and I don't think he'd ever be able to come back to Lambeau. But what I did see, and I thought this was really cute, Ryan Griffin for the Texans made a touchdown, and he happened to see a group of Texans that were there in the first row, and he went over and he made the Lambeau Leap. And I thought that was really great. I really did. It was something that the Lambeau fans, and believe me, that first row in the end zone is not a great place to watch a game, but they're just so in anticipation that there's going to be a touchdown and the Lambeau Leap. But I thought that was great. And then in the game, I hope I'm not mixing them up. As I recall the game last night, and I think it was Hill who went over after he made the touchdown. Yeah, I'm sure it was. After he made the touchdown, ran over and gave the ball to was either a little boy or a little girl in the stands. And I thought, you know, what a thrill for that child to be given the ball.
Well, you know, if you want, they're starting to call the NFL the No Fun League because now they're cracking down on celebrations. They're not really cracking down on domestic violence or plays that lead to concussions because it's the right thing to do, but it affects the football bottom line. And remember, the NFL's in the business of entertainment.
Yeah, but, I mean, what could be wrong with somebody down at the end zone doing a dance? I mean, you know, come on. I mean, that, you know, it's not like they're doing cartwheels from one end zone to the other. I mean, I just think that they should take the rule out. I mean, I don't think it should be part of the game, or certainly, you know, the term excessive is not used properly. I mean,
well,
in other words,
excessive. I'm not sure where the line is.
I think most people would understand what excessive is.
I noticed that when the Eagles scored a touchdown a couple of weeks ago against Atlanta, the game they won, Carson Wentz and Ryan Matthews shook hands. They ran together, and they just shook hands as they ran off the field. It was just another day at the office.
Yeah, but, you know, one of the things that I will never forget is watching Brett Favre literally running down the field after probably Donald Driver or somebody else made a touchdown. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't think that's excessive.
I don't see that as excessive.
I don't either. But, you know, the fact is, do the players really know what's going to be called and what's not going to be called? And I don't think they do. In other words, what's wrong with the little dance? What's wrong with, you know, the two, you know, jumping up and down in each other's arms? I mean, you know, the fans do it.
Well, I think there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, you've even seen people who caught a pass for a touchdown and they very quietly, discreetly put the ball on the ground, fall to their knees, and cross themselves.
Of course.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. You know,
or look to the sky where you know they're saying, you know, thank you, God.
Yeah. Or Vince Lombardi, if you're a Packer, but the Packer or Packer fan. But more importantly, you know, you can't take the fun out of this. The fans like it. Fans love the Lambeau Leap. Fans love when it's celebrating. But there's a line. Is there celebrating or is there taunting?
Well, that
taunting I got a real problem with. Cause I think that's really poor sportsmanship.
But that's not what they're calling. They're not calling. I'm talking about after touchdowns and they call that excessive celebration. And, you know, it depends on what umpire. Some of them call it much quicker than others. I just don't think there's any place in the game for complaining. I mean, everybody really knows what excessive. And I have not seen anything that I would consider excessive. And maybe I have a high tolerance. But, you know, these guys, you know, yes, it's a business, but it is also a game.
Well, remember something. TV ratings are down for football. Football is still the most popular sport in the country, my opinion, but it's really coming under attack because you now have all these fight leagues. You now have all these wrestling leagues, and I'm not so sure the matches aren't decided beforehand, predetermined.
But I think the other thing now, and, you know, I think I'm probably almost as big a football fan as most people. But, you know, it's not only college on Saturday, NFL on Sunday. Then you have the
Monday night. And a Thursday night.
But now the Thursday night. And I really think that's too much. I mean, I just think that, and I can imagine what it must be like if you're living in a household with somebody who doesn't like football, well, and you're sitting there all day Saturday, all day Sunday, Monday night, and Thursday. I mean, I think if anything, I think they're perhaps making a mistake on having those Thursday night games. But that's my impression.
Well, are they? You know, is it really the no fun league? Richard Sherman of the Seattle Seahawks said the NFL is no longer fun. And every week we go through seeing how the ratings are down or the broadcasts are down. Nobody really knows what's going on or why. But, you know, there's a lot of other distractions on Sundays besides the NFL. And, you know, I try to watch at least one game, and it's usually the late afternoon game or the 8:30 game because there are other things that I have to do. And when it's boating season, basically I'll be home Sunday by 8:30. I'll try to catch that late game if it's a matchup that I like. But I can tell you that I am finding that the games don't seem to be as much fun. I'm not enjoying it as much as I used to.
Well, I think it depends if they're good games or not.
Well, the teams I like are all lousy anyway.
Right.
So.
Well, then that makes a difference. Now, one thing that we usually watch the game when it's being played, but last week I was preparing for a trial, so I really didn't have time.
self-discipline.
What we did, however, is tape it, made sure that nobody called. We didn't pick up a phone. We didn't turn on a radio. We didn't turn on television. So we taped it and watched it, frankly, when we were having dinner that night. First of all, you get rid of all the commercials, which is great because the game runs just a little more than an hour that way. The only problem is we got down to the two-minute warning, and the tape stopped.
Oh, no.
So, oh, yes.
Couldn't see the end.
So we didn't see the – well, we didn't see the end, and then we had watched it late enough that we were all over the place trying to see if we could see the highlights. Now, we thought the Packers won, but, you know, we weren't sure. So, and we had added the extension on to the taping. So that was the only thing. We couldn't believe it. I mean, we went back and played it again thinking that there must have been something wrong, but it did end. On the other hand, it's a very fast way to, you know, watch a game when you just focus on the game. And, you know, I mean, I'm wondering, I don't know how many minutes of commercials there are, but it seems like there's got to be at least a half an hour of commercials, if not more.
Well, that's true. There are way too many commercials. What's happened is the salaries have gotten huge. The owners have certainly got to find the revenue to pay that. Plus, you also have the problem of they want to shove as many ads at us as possible, and it seems like there's a commercial break every two or three plays.
Well, if there's anybody, you're right, and if anybody's sick,
it breaks my concentration for the game.
If anybody is sick, you know, if anybody gets hurt, not sick, if anybody gets hurt, anytime they'll take a break. There's no, you know, question about it. And you know, some of the commercials, if they're really good, they're actually fun to watch. Now, I know I like Clay Matthews and Aaron Rodgers. But I have to say, I think that State Farm ad where, first of all, in the locker room, all of the teams up and down, you know, and they basically say, not in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because that's what, you know, in other words, they're not going to let the other team win in, mm-hmm. in their house. Well, then there's a living room scene with Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews is sitting on the couch eating something. Aaron Matthews is standing there, and you see this bug, and Aaron Rodgers takes a golf club and swings it, lets go of the golf club that goes through the window and through a car. And, you know, because what he says before that to this bug is, not in our house. Matthews is sitting on the sofa with his mouth full of food saying, well, did you get it? I'm telling you, it is a State Farm ad. It is so clever. I mean, it's really clever. So I don't mind watching ads that are clever, and I'll watch them more than once and laugh. But, you know, some of these ads are just, you know, I guess I could tell you something drive me nuts, but
and they get worse as we get deeper into the holiday season. How many jewelry ads have you seen? How many car ads have you seen? Now, football, gasoline, and automobiles is about as American as
well. And where else, if you were a jewelry store, are you going to add? If you're going to spend money on an ad, where are you going to put those ads?
Well, you know, the answer is, of course,
football.
You know, maybe the
sports.
Guy's watching with his wife or girlfriend, and she's going to nudge him and say, "Hey, but you know,
but
how
but
about
they're
going
nudging
down to XYZ
him.
XYZ Jewelers.
You know, they're nudging him, basically saying, "Hey,
if I got to put up with you watching,
if
this,
you
got to,
if well, and she doesn't need to say anything because they're saying, "Hey, look, you're sitting here watching. Better go out and buy something nice for the holidays." And it's not only football. I think they put those ads on any sports.
Well, sure. I'm not a basketball fan, so I don't really watch unless Temple is playing, and I have, unfortunately, nothing else I need to do, which is rare. But you're absolutely right. There are too many commercials. You know, there is a saturation point. where the public is going to basically say, I want to watch 60 minutes of football. I don't want to watch 3 hours of ads along with it. And that's really what you've got. Plus, you've got the talking heads, which I find I do not enjoy at all.
You know, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because now there's some announcers that I really like, but lately it just seems that some of them are yak, 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 yak. And they're not, it's not like they're explaining something. I do like it if there's something intricate going on, or if, you know, sometimes there'll be a call that you don't quite
get.
Yeah. And so if they are explaining that, there's one station that I know goes back to somebody who's, you know, supposedly this expert, and he'll explain why. But in general, some of them are, you're absolutely right. I don't know if they need so many announcers these days that they just don't, you know, have the quality or, you know, of announcers. But some of them are really not good. And then, frankly, I think in some ways, I'm glad to see that women are getting opportunities to announce sports. But I also think some of it is just, I don't know, window dressing. I don't know if that's the word. But, you know, it's so apparent what they're trying to do.
Well, basically, and, you know, I'll watch a football game, and usually it's an East Coast game, and there will be Tracy Wolfson. And my wife and I always joke, that's the daughter we forgot to have. But more importantly, if you look at the NHL channel, it's always some very attractive blonde woman.
Oh, well,
woman.
so is the NFL. Come
yeah,
on.
And I have said to my wife, I want to watch hockey. I'm an old guy. All I can get out of a pretty young woman these days is that she'll call me sir.
But the point is, it's very rare. And sometimes there's, I don't know, this one woman on the Sunday morning, and I swear, you know, she's got to have 3-inch heels and sitting with a short skirt. Nothing wrong with it, but you really wonder, it's obviously so deliberate that it just, you know,
well,
not necessary,
way.
Put it that way.
Let me put it to you this way. If I were a 13-year-old guy and she was wearing a burqa, I'd be disappointed, but I'm not 13.
You don't have to wear a burqa, but on the other hand, it's so obvious sometimes, because, you know, you can be a pretty ugly guy. If you're a good announcer, you're going to be working announcing.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about it. Look at Howard Cosell.
Oh, God. I never liked Howard Cosell.
I always loved him because he was so New York. And he was just so outer borough New York, not Manhattan, but Brooklyn or Queens. And I thought he was great.
Well, that may be because you're from the East Coast, because Howard Cosell was...
People from the West Coast or Mid-America always got the hives listening to him. I had a friend who came from Milwaukee, and he was a law school buddy of mine, and he... and we would always watch Monday Night Football, particularly if Dallas and the Eagles were playing, so he could annoy me about how bad the Eagles were. And they were bad then in the Dick Vermeil era. And he said, you know, you have Frank Gifford and Howard Cosell. And Gifford I can tolerate. At least he played. But how can you stand Howard Cosell? And I said, well, you got to remember something. He's a character type. Secondly, he has a sports radio show on WABC every Sunday night called Speaking of Sports, where they recap the day in the NFL or in baseball or in basketball or some other, or boxing. He never touched hockey. And the third thing is, how many sports announcers have been put in Woody Allen movies? and he is in the Woody Allen movie Bananas.
Yeah, but the If Cosell had a program
and a persona,
where, well, fine, then people wanted to tune into him could tune in. I just don't like, you know, I don't want to listen to somebody that I have to listen to to watch the football game. I want to make sure that that's a good, knowledgeable announcer.
Exactly. I want the game explained to me. I want the calls explained to me. I want the rules explained to me. And I want the play explained to me.
Exactly.
And the matchups.
Especially
that,
the play.
And the matchups.
And the game, I think it was the game, was it last night? I don't even remember now if it was last night or Sunday. I thought they did a good job of, you know, when they did a replay, they showed it was last night because it was funny. I had watched Hill in a play.
Tyreek Hill.
I had watched him. I focused on him on one play and then focused on him on that second play where he made the 36-yard touchdown. And it was very interesting to watch him and the way he ran that route. And by the way, I thought some of the catches were also pretty exceptional. I mean, these were not just stand in the middle of the field and get the ball thrown right to your gut. I mean, these were
circus catches, acrobatic catches.
And that you wouldn't have thought Smith would make some of those throws. I mean,
well,
Alexis
Smith, I think, is playing hurt, as a lot of guys are.
Alex Smith? You think he's hurt?
And,
well, I'm telling you,
and
the
I think
way
he floated
was
a couple
last
of balls
night,
that were up for grabs.
Yeah, but last night he was also, really hitting. I thought he was hitting some really right on.
Well, I noticed he wasn't really trying to force the ball. And he was actually getting some separation. His receivers were getting some separation from Oakland last night, too. But getting back to the announcers and getting back to the, I'll call them the color commentators, which I'm kind of tired of, I want to watch the game. I want the game explained to me. If you're a little bit of an interesting character, that's great. But, you know, there's also a limit. These guys are all so bland, and they don't sound like they have prepared for the game. They haven't prepared to talk about the matchups. They haven't prepared to talk about why the coaches are doing what they're doing. They haven't really watched the film from the week before or seen a couple of the practices where they would really be giving those of us who consider ourselves students of these games a little bit more of an education or a little bit more of an insight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because they're talking to the lowest common denominator or fan because the NFL and the networks have agreed
really
that this should
so?
Be bland.
I don't know.
It's like eating unflavored oatmeal.
It might be good for you, but it doesn't taste.
You don't really look forward to it.
I agree, but I don't know why. I don't know the reason. But there are some announcers that really are really good. I know a lot of people right now are turning off the sound.
Oh, yeah, I do
and
that.
And they're listening to maybe a radio, a radio announcer that they really
the,
like.
You prefer the radio play-by-play, sure.
I certainly know that that's the case that happens in Wisconsin when the Packers are playing away. There will be a lot of people that will, turn on the radio
announcer.
They
want the local
they'll get
Packer
the local
broadcast
yep.
over the air on the radio.
Because
sure.
they like the sure. way they do that. Yeah. And
it's interesting because in hockey, Hockey Night in Canada always has Don Cherry. Now, Don Cherry always he wears outrageous clothing. He showed up a couple of nights ago in Toronto on a Saturday night. And he was wearing a white sport jacket with red hearts, which he said was his Valentine's Day jacket because he loved to watch James Van Riemsdyk play. So he was wearing that jacket. And he's a character, and he's interesting. And he sometimes says foolish things or outrageous things, but, for people who love hockey as much as I do and will watch the Hockey Night in Canada feed on the NHL Network, I look forward to them. On the other hand, I'm not crazy about Darren Pang. Yeah, I know he was a goalie and he was pretty good. He had a decent minor league career and he's a bright guy, but for some reason I find him really boring. And the other thing, too, is the Flyers have this guy, Steve Coates. Well, Steve Coates owns a lumber yard, or lumber mill, That's his regular job. But he's also a Flyers announcer, and he does some of the color at the Wells Fargo Center broadcast, particularly in the home games. Occasionally he goes on the road with the team. I find that he's annoying, whereas I love Gene Hart because he really was Mr. Flyer, and Gene was a real homer, but you knew it, and you know, when so-and-so on the Flyers scored a goal or, you know, and put it in the net for a case of Tasty Cake or where, you know, the Flyers had a great checking line with Don Selesky, Bob Kelly, and Orris Kinderchuk, and they were forechecking to a fare-thee-well. The man could turn a phrase, and it was kind of fun. You knew it was corny, but you kept waiting for it because it was kind of fun. But it's gotten bland.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's gotten bland. And, you know, I like characters. Few of us have what I'll call over-the-top personalities. Few of us love sports so much and can still have the ability to turn a very clever phrase to describe what's going on the field or on the ice or on the floor. So you've got a real problem, and maybe it is turning into the No Fun League, Pat. I still find the hockey much more exciting to watch than football.
Well, and but a point taken even in hockey, and I don't watch as much. I'll watch once in a while. I really would like them to explain the intricacies of hockey because, you know, for someone who really doesn't understand a lot, it would be helpful as you're watching the game to see, you know, how they can explain it.
Well, remember, one of the problems with hockey is it's not the best of television sports because things happen very fast. The puck is small and hard to see. And you also have the problem of it is a game that looks like chaos, whereas really it's very, very, very clear. It's now 5:51, is it, Pat?
About 5:56, according to this. 5:56.
We ought to hit the money button. And
well, I guess
sponsors.
We should. And although we've played most of them, let me do that, and we'll come back then and say goodbye, and hopefully John Manfreda will be back here next week, and hopefully we'll have some great games. I mean, the Packers need to win every one of their games, and of course, for us, the last game is against the Lions, so that should be the make-or-break game here. But let's see what some of our sponsors have to say.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports.